It's a roller coaster morning here in Los Angeles. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll go till 11 a.m. This morning, and we'll continue to talk Lakers basketball. I want to welcome in Brad Turner from the L.A. Times, who's down in Orlando. BT, talk to me, my man. Talk to me. How you doing?
Well, wow. I like that nickname. Playoff sweetheart. Look at you.
Well, here's the problem. You know, Rondo didn't come through yesterday. Now I feel like I'm not coming through.
No. You're coming through. They could have used you last night. They need some help for AD and LeBron James. You got to get that.
Well, guys have
just been inconsistent, man.
Well, BT, let me start off with this, because I thought last night was, you know, there are a lot of storylines that come out of that game, but one of the things that stuck out to me, when Coach did his post-game interview, one of the first things he pointed out was he was really upset by the foul calling and those four free throws towards the end of the game for Jimmy Butler. First of all, did you think that those calls were accurate at the end, number one? And number two, were you surprised that Frank said that? And I think LeBron James had kind of similar comments. Or is that kind of part of the strategy, basically saying, look, game six, you want to put Jimmy Butler on the line every time he drives the ball, you better be putting us on the line as well. How much of that do you think was how they felt in the moment, and how much do you think that was kind of positioning and jockeying for game six tomorrow?
Well, let's just start with, were there fouls? Yes, both of those were fouls. I mean, I think that was pretty clear from my vantage point from watching the replays. They were just... the defense just should have been better.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be better against Jimmy Butler. He's going to get those calls. And was it something that they said in the moment? You have enough time to think it over, and so you know what you want to say, and you gather those thoughts together, and you can collect yourself. So I think Frank wanted to put that out there so that going forward for game six,
mm-hmm,
that you now get some calls to go your way. If we think back to the game against the Denver Nuggets,
absolutely,
the time where LeBron had not shot very many free throws,
mm-hmm,
I recall writing a story about that, very small story, really, didn't think much of it. And the next thing I know, people are discussing it, and the referees, they watch TV, they read, they hear these things, they talk amongst themselves. So the idea is to plant a seed in the referees' minds that maybe we're giving Jimmy too many calls. Maybe we're giving him the calls that we're not giving to LeBron and AD. Let's try to be fair with this. So there's a reason behind it. And then LeBron James comes back and he says the same thing. AD was more diplomatic that, you know, the calls didn't quite go our way. We wish they had. You know, so, yeah, the idea of letting everyone know, the referees, your teammates, the executives, the media, the fans, everyone knows now that the Lakers don't think they got their fair calls, and Jimmy Butler got more than his fair.
Yeah,
so we'll see what happens in game six. I expect the Lakers, and especially LeBron James, to shoot more free throws.
Well, it's interesting because that is, you know, BT, this is something that we see in sports often, and it's, you know, Mike Malone and head coach Frank Vogel in that Denver series, I felt like every post game, one of the two was taking turns of saying, okay, well, now it's our turn. And I will go back to, I don't think the Lakers lost that game on the final couple possessions on offense. I thought they lost it on the defensive side. And I'm with you. Look, the Jimmy Butler did enough to put pressure on those referees, whether you thought it was a questionable call or not. I lean more towards no. I think that was a foul. And I think at the end of the day, BT, and I was mentioning this a little bit earlier in the show, and you know, we could sit here with all the cliches. When they say defense wins championships, literally the Lakers were one or two defensive possessions away. Get a stop and you probably win an NBA championship. They didn't get the stops.
No, Alan, and there was a period there where they were down in that game in the fourth quarter. And they got those stops. And they ran. They were down, I think, was it 93-85, okay, early in the fourth quarter. And the next thing I know is 97-96. And then it's 99-96 because they got stops on defense.
Right, right.
But you have to keep getting those stops on defense, especially in the fourth quarter, and even more so when it's meaningful and impactful, when you have to close the game out, close out the series, win the championship. You have to play championship defense. And as Frank Vogel always says, you have to play defense without fouling. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Lakers did not do.
So, Brad, you know, when we look, Brad Turner from the LA Times joining Lakers Talk. We're doing a special Lakers Talk this morning. We're going till 11 a.m., looking back at last night's game and, of course, tomorrow's Game 6 against the Miami Heat. So, Brad, when we talk about those possessions where you were talking about, okay, they're down 9 and then they were down 1, I feel this has been a theme for the Lakers. Any game they lose, and this for the most part in the playoffs, I'm not saying it's completely accurate here, but at least against Miami, they're falling behind where they're playing catch-up the entire time, where they're the ones that are down 7 or 8 in the third quarter, where the Heat have a margin for error that if the Lakers go on an 8-0 run, then all they got to do is hit a bucket or hit 2 buckets in a row, and then the momentum is back on their end. And I felt that was pretty consistent in the game yesterday. So looking into Game 6 tomorrow, how important is it for the Lakers to, you know, walk into halftime with a 6-7 point lead rather than a 6-7 point deficit? Because I do feel like that has told a big story so far.
Alan, why wait until halftime? Why not start the game off playing and executing and playing great defense from the very beginning? And running your offense the right way and sharing the ball and making shots, playing with effort and energy from the start to let Miami know that your plan is to win the NBA championship, to put pressure on Miami. Because one thing the Lakers know, and we all know, Miami will play hard and they will compete until the very last second of the game. And you have to also compete against them and against that. That's what the Lakers don't do all the time. They don't start the games off, in my opinion, the right way. And then they get behind. And then they try to have a good little run and a good stretch. So start from the jump ball and run your offense. Get a good shot. Play good defense. Settle down. Do the right things. Do the things you saw on film and the things you discussed. And then you give yourself a chance to really perhaps extend the lead. And now I'll make Miami have to play great defense over and over and over again because now they're trying to catch up. But if you keep playing catch-up basketball against a Heat team that has a great player and Jimmy Butler who is playing great basketball, you find yourself always chasing, and then you find yourself, as they did last night, losing.
Brad Turner from the LA Times joining Lakers Talk. Alan Sliwa here till 11 a.m., BT, I don't want to simplify it and make it sound this simple, but if the Lakers role players have a good game collectively in Game 6, and when I say good game, okay, how about this? How about just an average game in Game 6? Do the Lakers win an NBA championship? I mean, is it just coming down to that? If the Lakers role players just find ways to contribute, are not hurting you more than helping you, are not incredibly inefficient from the field, if they just have an average game, can you see the Lakers in Game 6? Because LeBron and AD have proven that, okay, they're going to deliver every night. LeBron is just ridiculous. If guys like Caruso and Rondo and KCP and Danny Green, if these guys have, I'm not saying they have to have the exact same game they had in Game 4 where they had great contributions, but just something close to that. Is this series over tomorrow if they can contribute like that?
An average night? No. They have to have, in my eyes, a very good night because you expect LeBron James and AD to have great nights. Because on the flip side, when Miami's role players are having really good nights, they give Jimmy help. That was the case last night with Duncan Robinson, with none, with getting just enough extra out of Tyler Hero, and with Bam giving them just enough stuff. But they had their role players that played exceptionally well. So you got to play to your potential. You have to do things the right way. I mean, there are things that you're just not capable of doing, so don't do that. If you don't drop the basket all the time, then don't put the ball on the floor and try to drive the basket and turn the ball over. Shoot your open shots. Execute on defense. Stick to the shooters. I mean, all those things they talk about, You have to do those things. And sometimes you're going to miss here and there on assignments. But, man, they have to be really good, in my opinion, not just average.
Brad, I want to hit on Jimmy Butler for a quick second. So just to give an idea here for Jimmy Butler, about 30 points a game is his average. I want to just make sure. You got, and it's almost as if that music came on right as I started talking about Jimmy Butler. It's almost as if that was timed perfectly, BT. No, you're good. Listen, so 29 points this series, 10 assists, 8.6 rebounds, and 2.6 steals. His numbers are ridiculous in the two wins for Miami. What do the Lakers do about Jimmy Butler? He's been incredible this finals. I think you can make an argument he's been just as good, if not even better than LeBron, because he's also putting in those 2.5 steals a game. What do the Lakers do to, I'm not saying you got to stop Jimmy Butler, but can you just slow him down? Can you make it a little bit more difficult? Can you make his life not look as easy as it has? He's shooting 55% from the field and 91% from the free throw line.
Ooh, yeah. You know, the word you used was make it more difficult. I think that's what they have to do. The problem is if you try and double team him, which I think they still should do a little bit more of, you can't do that and then leave the shooters open. But you also don't want Bam rolling to the basket. So I think when you double team, you have to really make it the lanes difficult for him to find passing avenues. And you want to make sure his vision is obscured so he can't really see where to get the ball to. And then, of course, you have to get back to your own man. You know, and stop fouling the guy. I mean, come on, man. You can't put him on the line all the time. Stop letting him turn the corner, and now you're sort of on his side with him, because if you're there, then you're going to get a foul called against you, because most likely it is a foul, and then you complain about it. So there are things I think they can do to slow him down. I don't want to say enough, but the key word is make it more difficult for him to score the ball and not get all these assists. I mean, the guy is in wins, he's averaging a triple-double. I mean, and look, stop fouling him. Make him earn everything he gets, because he will get it. He's that great, and he's playing that great of an NBA Finals. But don't let it be so easy, and don't send him to the line to get, as they call it, free throws, because they are free.
Listen, BT, I'm with you. It comes down to this for Jimmy Butler. He's playing great. He's an incredibly good player. It's been too easy for him. I mean, it just, he can't be that efficient in every stat. Make it a little bit more difficult. I think the free throw line that you're talking about, the way he gets to the free throw line, I mean, he wants these moments. But why not throw a double team at him and then make him just have a different look and make different decisions? Now all of a sudden you're putting more pressure on Bam Adebayo and Kendrick Nunn and Jay Crowder and some of these other players. Final one for you, BT. What do you think happens tomorrow? You think we're going to a game 7, or you think the Lakers close it out?
Man, I had the Lakers close it out in game 5, so obviously I don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm going to stick with it. The Lakers won a tough, tight, tense, taut game tomorrow, because Miami won't go away, and they would be crowned the NBA champions and win their 17th title.
Speak it into existence, BT. Speak it into existence. I'm with you, my man. Thank you. I appreciate you taking the time. Enjoy these this last couple of days that you got out here in Orlando. So thank you for doing this. All right, Brad?
Thank you.
All right, bud. We'll talk soon. All right, that's BT right there. Brad Turner from the LA Times. Your phone call's coming up next. I, Laker fans, I need a little bit of help. How should the Lakers guard Jimmy Butler? How should they guard him? 877-710-ESPN. You can also hit me on Twitter, at Alan Sliwa. I know we got a lot of people on hold right now, so if you had a topic that you wanted to bring up outside of how you guard Jimmy Butler, I could hit on that as well. But that is the topic that I want to get into coming up next. We'll do all that coming up next here on 710 ESPN. This is Lakers Talk. I'm Alan Sliwa.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, if you're going to call me playoff slew, I better start coming through. We got to finish this thing off. Lakers and the Miami Heat tomorrow, 3 o'clock pregame show with myself and Michael Thompson. I'm going to start off the pregame show tomorrow with telling Michael Thompson, stop calling out that this series is over. Stop going to the refrigerator before the game starts. Michael and I will have a long conversation tomorrow for that. By the way, I will say this, you know, just kind of playing off the last 12 hours or 13 hours, whatever the case is. I'm looking, Spectrum's got, in the TVs we have here, some Spectrum in the background. I forgot Lakers went down by 11 in the fourth and then went on this crazy run and then actually took a three-point lead, but just digging themselves such a hole, especially in the fourth quarter. I don't expect that to be the case tomorrow. Laker fans, let me tell you what I expect from tomorrow. Then we're going to talk about Jimmy Butler and how the Lakers should guard him. And then I'll obviously get back to the calls. So my expectation tomorrow from the Los Angeles Lakers, desperation. Desperate. Backs up against the wall. No, no, no. We are not going to a game seven. Okay, Miami, you played great basketball in Game 5, and you've played great this entire series. And Jimmy Butler, hats off to what you've done so far. Nobody expected the Heat to even make this a six-game set. Goran Dragic has been out. Bam Adebayo has been in and out of that lineup. What a great story for the Miami Heat. What I expect from the Lakers tomorrow, finish the damn series. Do not get this thing to a Game 7. And I don't think the Lakers will. I think all these role players that we've spent a lot of time on talking about and criticizing since the game last night, I think they come through for the Lakers. I think players will step up tomorrow. I think Anthony Davis and LeBron James will be the two best players in the world like they have been all season. I don't expect Jimmy Butler to have another unbelievable finals performance, and I'm talking about as good as performances that we've ever seen in the finals. Maybe I'm wrong, but I am still very optimistic that the Lakers close this thing out and championship number 17 will be remembered not just for being championship number 17, but that it was a tough one to get, that the Miami Heat made the Lakers work for it. Okay, let me go back to the phone lines here real quick. Let's go to Jimmy in Miami, Florida, on how to guard Jimmy Butler. Is this Jimmy himself? Jimmy, what's going on?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, man. Thank you.
I'm just proud of the Heat. I mean, if they were healthy, they could have won it. But I think the Lakers are just too talented, and they're gonna do it. But
no, they've had Jimmy. Let me jump in before you get into your point. Whether you're a Laker fan or you're not, and you're just a fan of the NBA, now you got to admire the way they're playing. You have to. And I could sit here and do every post-game show, and every time I get a chance to crack the mic and talk about Lakers got to do this, that, this, and this. Well, a lot of it is also you got to give credit to the Miami Heat. But keep going.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, Butler, he's got to cover the paint. I mean, Butler's good. He can't have another game like he's had, you know, the two incredible games. But, I mean, the Lakers are just too talented, AD and LeBron. And if they come in at, like, my point was – what yours is, it's a desperation game. They have to come in and say, okay, we can't let it go to seven, period. And, you know, LeBron, you know, the game before said, hey, you know, we got to win this, and they did. And I think the same thing with, you know, game six is going to be, they're just going to overpower them. I can't see the Lakers losing, even though I've been a Heat fan forever. So,
well, I appreciate you being objective as well, and thank you for calling in. It's easy for me to sit here and say, oh, they got to come in desperate. I mean, I'm the first 5 minutes are going to tell a lot about that Lakers, about that game tomorrow. Which team is a little bit more desperate? Which team is feeling a little bit tight? Which team is starting to feel pressure? We'll find out tomorrow early on which team we're going to get. Santiago in Buena Park, thank you for calling in, bud. Go ahead. You're on Lakers Talk.
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's going good.
First off, I just want the Lakers, every possession matters on offense and on defense.
Mm-hmm.
No plays off, defense 100%, offense 100%. And with that, let's leave that three-point shot alone. Let's leave it alone. Shoot it here and there, but let's work in the paint. Let's get people in foul trouble. Let's play Laker basketball.
Santiago, I like it. I really do. And, you know, that there is one thing that I don't think the Lakers have used to their advantage. We got so much size, and I almost feel like it's been wasted. Okay, I'm not saying you got to have Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee in at the same time, but even AD size, there's times I like when LeBron's in the post. Because and I appreciate you calling in, Santiago. There's also, you know, predicaments or situations where I want to see the Lakers, and if we want more foul shots, and if we want to complain about, you know, those final couple possessions where Jimmy Butler takes the ball to the basket and takes all those free throws at the end of the game, put pressure on the referees. By the way, if there's ever time to put pressure on the referees, it's after game five when you lost. Jimmy Butler went to the line as often as he did. There was your head coach and LeBron James coming out after the game and saying, yeah, those we thought were questionable calls. I don't think you should have made that call on Anthony Davis. If there's a game, a predicament, and a situation to go to the line, now is the time to go to the line. All right, I'm going to take more of your calls when we come back, read off more of your tweets, then I'll get into how I think the Lakers should guard Jimmy Butler in Game 6. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is very appropriate music at the time. Everything's going to be all right. Game 6 tomorrow, Lakers and the Miami Heat. Let me read off a couple tweets here. So I put out a tweet, how should the Lakers guard Jimmy Butler? I got Harrison Fagan saying better. That is one way. That is definitely one way, Harrison. Thank you. Okay, let me read off a couple of these tweets and we'll go back to the phones. They can start, this is Nestor Amaya, they can start by actually guarding him instead of letting him do whatever he wants. I think they need to focus more on controlling the other guys. Robinson can't have 26 points. That's crazy. He's talking about Duncan Robinson. I've always said this, and these are, I think this has been the case so far for Jimmy Butler. It's not like Jimmy Butler, I feel like, is going to plan B, C, D, and E. I feel like his plan A, and he feels good about it. Okay, well, what, you guys are going to switch? If I get Markieff Morris's man to set a screen on me, then AD's gone. That's it? Okay, that sounds good. Okay, so if I just get to the basket and, try to find a shooter, then a lot of these players are finding ways to get open, and I could just dish to whoever I want. Okay, sounds good. All right, I'm going to be physical down low, and I'm just going to get to the free. Sounds good. I mean, it's one thing for Jimmy Butler to have the stats that he's having, but then you're saying, well, he's shooting 40% from the field, or he's only taking 8 free throws a game. No, Jimmy Butler's doing pretty much whatever he wants in this game, and he's doing it on both sides of the floor. So he's averaging 29 points, 10 assists, almost 9 rebounds, and 2.6 steals per game. It's Med 31 says, double, make it hard on himself, just like we did with Dame and Harden. Chris Hernandez, same game plan Vogel would have on LeBron when he was on the Pacers. Difference is you have Braun on your team, double team past the three-point line. I do want to see the Lakers, and Miami does move the ball well, and they move without the ball, and they set great screens. They do all that stuff. But I would like to see... I'd like to see James Harden coming into Game 6 with a different look. I'd like to see James Harden, just like the Miami Heat forced LeBron James to pass that ball at the end of the game and make somebody else have to take a big shot. That's what I want to see with Jimmy Butler and how the Lakers defend him. Make these other guys come through. If Jay Crowder comes up with 20 points tomorrow and... Andre Iguodala comes up with big buckets and Bam Adebayo hits a couple of jumpers. Make some of these other guys win it for the Miami Heat. Because I think the percentages would say if Jimmy Butler keeps doing what he's doing, and not only is he getting the 35 points, but he's also dishing out 10 dimes, 12 dimes, 15 dimes, it doesn't sound like a good scenario for the Lakers when it's all said and done. Now, Jimmy Butler can still have a good game and have 25 points, 8 assists, 8 rebounds, and a couple steals. That, to me, would be holding Jimmy Butler and containing him. Just make it more difficult. Why is it so easy when you have it's too good of a defensive team from the Lakers for it to be this easy for Jimmy Butler? All right, let's take a couple more calls here. Enrique in Santa Ana. Go ahead, Enrique. You're on Lakers Talk.
How's it going, Alan? Thanks for having me again. I called last night, talked about the rebounding, the fouling, and the jinx. But I wanted to call you today to talk about specifically about Jamie Foxx, Jimmy Butler. And I really want to know, because he's balling out of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that. That's the eye test. But this is the first time he's ever put up these kinds of numbers, right, Alan? Am I crazy? But he didn't do this when he was with Chicago. He didn't do this, wherever he was before. And so I'm trying to think the toll that is taking on his body, because if they say the Lakers is a house of cards, Miami's a bigger house of cards, because mm-hmm. everything goes through Jimmy. They throw that horn set every about 50, 60% of the time. Two horns, try to go for the switch. They don't get the switch. Jimmy holds the ball. They give it back to Jimmy, and then they let Jimmy wind out the clock. So if you want to know a game plan for my basic brain on how to guard this guy, only AD could go one-on-one. AD, maybe LeBron could go one-on-one. After that, if it's the second half and we're going into crunch time and winning time,
make him pass the ball.
AD, mm-hmm. If it's not AD or it's not LeBron, we have to throw a double.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the key to make this work. I think it's on LeBron to be able to rotate at the very end to get us a defensive play. If he's not going to do it straight up, he needs to be the last line to help.
Well, Enrique, just to play off of that, and I appreciate you calling in, it's also another thing. One thing I would say is go at Jimmy Butler when Jimmy Butler's on defense. The problem is LeBron, and I think Jimmy Butler's been incredibly smart about not getting into foul trouble. He's still getting 3 to 5 steals a game. All right, let me take a couple more calls here. Steven LaHabra, go ahead, bud. You're on Lakers Talk.
Hey, first of all, I just want to say I love when I turn on my radio and it's live and local. I love live and local. L.A.'s a big city. Got plenty of sports to talk about. Let's keep it live and local. Second is I don't understand how Anthony Davis, such a big man, can have so few rebounds. He's not Steph Curry. He's not Klay Thompson. He needs to play near the basket, in the paint, and just dominate. You know, I just don't understand why they can't tell him. I'm sure LeBron's putting his foot where the sun don't shine, telling him, hey, big man, you know, you need to play near the basket. I just don't get it. Jimmy Butler, didn't he have a triple-double without ever shooting a three-pointer?
He did.
In the series, I mean, Anthony Davis, come on, dude. You're the biggest guy on the court. You know, get down there, dominate. As Bill Walton would say, dominate, big man.
Well, I'll tell you this, Steve, and thank you for calling in. I don't know what the deal is with AD, because that's been a part of his game that's been incredibly difficult to understand for me personally. When I see his... Maybe it's his heel. Maybe there's an injury there that he's just trying to get through the rest of this series and the finals, and we'll get some more information when the series is over. I don't have an answer. But for as talented of a player that he is, he's kind of getting pushed around in the block. And the double teams are coming, and he's quick to get rid of the ball. And if you're the Miami Heat, you're kind of, you know, saying the sign of, or you're making a prayer every time he does that and say, okay, well, if that means the ball's out of AD's hands and it's one of these other Laker role players they're going to shoot, yeah, we'll take our chances. And I don't blame them for doing that. Ismael in Whittier. Go ahead, bud. You're on Lakers Talk. You there, Ismael? All right, let's try Joe in the Inland Empire. Joe, you're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, Joe.
What's up, Alan, man? I'm so happy, man. Last night, I didn't want to talk to you last night, man. I can't even lie, man. I went straight to sleep.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
So, my voice is gone right now, too. I lost money too. I won't even talk about that. That's a side note, but it's okay. But anyway, I just felt like LeBron, he let them off the hook a little bit. I don't know why. I felt like we rushed a little bit because we had 16.8 last night. I felt like LeBron, he had the Mamba jersey on. It was time for him to kind of to even go mid-range, you know, just hit him with a stop and pop or in the mid-range or something. But that's a side note, too. I feel to stop Jimmy Butler, just stop fouling him because he's wild. He's like Tasmanian devil. Like, if you hit it, if you clip his foot, he'll drop on the floor or anything. You got to just not foul him. If you don't foul him, he's not a sure shooter. So I think that's what you could do with Jimmy Butler.
Well, Joe, and he's getting the calls too, so that's the worst part. Thank you for calling in.
Kind of call.
He is.
Oh, my God.
He is. He's getting the calls. But you know what? That's what you got to do sometimes. If you're a star player,
I love it.
You got to put pressure on, you know, you got to put pressure on the referees. So thank you for calling in. I'm gonna take a couple more calls, but you got to put pressure on the referees. And that's what Jimmy Butler's doing. You know, if you're a Laker fan out here, you're kind of thinking in your mind, damn, how's this guy keep getting to the free throw line? Well, I'll tell you how he's getting there. He's not taking 22-footers. He's not sitting outside of the key. Yes, he's taking mid-range jumpers and everything else. And listen, I want to go back to this because there are many ways the Lakers lost Game 5. All predicament situations that they can clean up, they can fix, and they could come right back in Game 6 tomorrow, which I expect them to do. I expect the Lakers tomorrow to come out as desperate as any time they've been in this entire season. There's nothing left. There's nothing left to the season. The season is over. You got at most 2 games left, and that's it. You know, Jimmy Butler played 47 of 48 minutes last night. The Miami Heat are emptying their rounds. There's nothing left by the time, if we get to Tuesday, there's going to be absolutely nothing left. If you're the Los Angeles Lakers, you got to have that similar sense of urgency from tip-off. When the game starts tomorrow, and I'm not saying a sense of urgency, I'm talking about, you know, you still got to be incredibly focused. You still can't be careless with the ball. You got to make sure every possession counts. You can't have any lost possessions. You can't take bad 3-point shots early in the shot clock. All those things, I think, add up as the first quarter ends. If you play good, solid basketball in the first 12 minutes and you play Lakers basketball and it's Lakers defense and the ball is moving and you're taking the right shot, you could and should be up 8 to 10 points by the end of the first quarter. That's what they got to have tomorrow. Because if you start just putting some kind of doubt in the Miami Heat's mind, and even more importantly, the Lakers get that much closer to tasting it. Lakers never tasted a championship last night. They didn't. They were down for pretty much the entire game. So there wasn't a point where the Lakers went up 8 and there's, you know, a few minutes left, or you're in the first half and you started tasting it like, damn, I think it's happening tonight. Yeah, it was close at the end, but it was back and forth. If the Lakers can put themselves in a position tomorrow at the start of the game, come out and play the best half that you've played all season, and I'm not saying everything's got to go perfect, but that you're executing the right way, you're incredibly smart, you're not careless with the ball, you're taking the right shots, you're that close to championship number 17. All right, let me get one more call in here, and then we'll go to break. We'll come back and we'll take more calls. Reggie and Merced, you're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead.
How you doing, Alan? Thanks for taking my call.
You got
it. I just wanted to make a couple quick points. Yesterday in that game, I kind of thought the Lakers started pretty good. If you notice, we were up 18-13 in that game. And one thing that I noticed, LeBron, Frank Vogel's rotations, he always takes LeBron out at the end of the quarter. And as soon as he went out, the Miami Heat,
it got ugly.
Like, they turned on a switch and they went on that run. And we got down. We were up 5 points, and then we were down. They went on like a 9-0 run or something like that. And that's been the Achilles heel this season. Like, when LeBron goes out, for some reason, we lose our lead. We don't play with the same enthusiasm. The Miami Heat didn't start that game too enthused. They looked like they were about ready to fold. Lakers looked like they could have been on their way to a big blowout, but LeBron went out, and it seemed like they flipped the switch. If you notice, in game four, Frank Vogel started matching LeBron's minutes to Butler's. I would love for him to do that in game six. It seems like the kid never goes out the game. I want to see LeBron in the game when Butler's in the game, and I think that'll make a big difference because Spoelstra's using that to his advantage. When LeBron goes out, they're going on these mini runs.
That's a great point, Reggie, and I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
You know, that point that you're making too, so Lakers, they go up 18-13. You know those timely buckets? I said this. I don't even think I tweeted. I think I literally was just talking to myself in the studio. Kuzma missed a three in the corner, and I think Lakers had a chance if they hit that three. I think Rondo took a three as well. Two straight possessions, they were up five. Lakers take two threes, and I'm not crazy about that. But anyways, timely buckets, back-breaking buckets. I feel like Lakers have missed those in the games that they've eventually lost. Those timely shots that takes a five-point lead to eight, or takes a six-point lead to nine or something along those lines. Lakers haven't hit those shots. That could be the difference. All right, I got to go to break here. We come back. More of your phone calls. By the way, this is the best. I love it. When we could talk Lakers basketball, we open it up to everybody that's driving around Southern California or listening on your ESPN app or on iTunes, and we're talking Lakers basketball right before Game 6 of the NBA Finals. For me, this is as good as it gets. Now, we want to finish up the series. 100% we do. I think the Lakers obviously have an incredible chance to do that tomorrow. More of your phone calls coming up next. You're listening to Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa on 710 ESPN. All right, John Cornish III on Twitter. The way to guard Jimmy Buckets starts on Lakers offense. Use their size to drive to the hoop and get him into foul trouble early. And Mace 13 says, not putting Morris on him. Heat did a good job getting LeBron off of Jimmy. Need AD to have a monster game. Also, the bench needs to step up. Lakers and the Heat, game six tomorrow. A chance, a second chance for championship number 17 for the Los Angeles Lakers. Let's take a couple quick calls here, and then we're going to have to call it a day. Kurt in Anaheim. Kurt, appreciate you calling in. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, well, I love you, bro. How are you?
Good, man. Good. Thank you. What do you think?
Right, man, look, dude, can't we – I don't know if this sounds simple or stupid, but can't we just let Jimmy get his, dude, and guard everybody else? I mean, can we not fall for the bells and whistles of Jimmy and just, you know, handle him one-on-one? And if he gets his, he gets his, but everybody else can't get theirs.
Well, I'm fine with that. I think, Kurt, you know, that's the one thing I always say. It's, okay, let him dominate in one category. Don't let him dominate in all the categories. I mean,
right.
Take something away from him.
That's what I think, man. I mean, can't we? I mean, like I said, it might sound simple, but I think we should just let him get his and stop everybody else from getting 26.
Kurt, appreciate you calling in. Let me squeeze in a couple more calls
here.
Raul in Burbank. Go ahead, Raul. You're on 710.
Yes, I just want to mention that towards the end, I think it falls on the coaching. Mm-hmm. They should have seen that AD was limping, so that's a big liability for rebounding and maybe a tip back or, you know, on the last play. So they should have seen that. And also, I mean, as a Laker fan, diehard Laker fan, I'm traveling everywhere. I'm driving everywhere. I'm not really seeing a lot of Lakers, you know, pride out there. So, I mean, we need to step it up. You know, I want to see more Laker pride out there. Today, you know, even though we lost yesterday, let's wear our jerseys, put our flags up, you know, be proud.
Now, Raul, listen, that's a good point. Thank you for calling in. I don't know. I'm kind of just in my own little world, so I'm not paying too much attention to that. I will tell you that anytime I'm doing any of these shows, there's plenty of Laker fans that want to voice their opinion. George in Compton, go ahead, bud.
Yeah, what I can't understand, man, is the coach, man, couldn't put the white and Powell in the game, and he put him in the first quarter,
mm-hmm.
and then take him and did not put the boy back in there. I believe if he was in there, He can do a lot because he always getting all the rebounds and putting it right back in the hole.
Well, George, I'll say this, and I appreciate you calling in. We're coming to the end of the show here. I do think there's something about Dwight getting more playing time. I don't actually disagree with that one. I think there were a lot of times Dwight was open on lobs and Lakers just weren't finding him or weren't taking the chance to throw it to him. I kind of want that size. I kind of want Dwight's size and his physicality in some of these games. and probably not getting enough of Dwight. Coach is trying to balance how to guard all these players, and I think one of the reasons why Dwight is not in the game is simply because there's so many guards that are running around for the Miami Heat, and they're going small, so they're not finding time to find him. All right, we're coming up to an end here. So first of all, let me just say thank you to Steve Paulette for helping us put the show together. He certainly, you know, stayed after the Weekend Warrior show and helped with that. So always good to get a chance to do a show like this in between Game 5 and Game 6. So with all that said, thank you to all the callers that called in, everybody that hit me on Twitter. Laker fans, listen, I know it's not the best scenario to be in. We thought we'd be celebrating this Saturday morning, but great things don't come in life. It's not easy to go get it, and I think the Lakers are in a perfect position to go close this thing out tomorrow. Still an unbelievable situation for this team to go grab championship number 17, but you got to go get it. You got to go grab it. Miami's not going to hand it to you, and if you're going to earn championship number 17, you are literally going to have to earn it. Role players got to come through tomorrow. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, the rest of the team. Pre-game show starts tomorrow at 3 o'clock. With myself and Michael Thompson, tip off at 4:30. Thank you, LA. Have a good day.